Welcome back to All Talk. Kevin Dietz in with Marie Osborne this morning. We're going to be joined here, Marie, by Todd Flood. And I just wanted to make a little announcement. Todd Flood is bringing back his show, Behind the Bench, yeah, with Todd Flood. It's going to air Mondays at 7 p.m. right here on WJR. So excited to get back into listening to that show. I think I was a guest on that show once before. That was exciting. That was fun.
Yeah,
it was
it's a great show. Todd has such a great take on a lot of the really big cases of the day, and frankly, just has such a vast wealth of experience in this area that he really brings a lot of background to that show.
Absolutely.
Really good.
He's been following the Crumbly case for us, and there's some new developments in that area. James Crumbly, who's next up to be charged,
right.
His wife Jennifer was just convicted of involuntary manslaughter. He's now facing involuntary manslaughter as well, and there's some new developments in that.
Well, he wants a change of venue for his case, which, you know, you and I have both covered a lot of court cases, and we know that this is almost always, in a big high-profile case, one of the very first things that defense attorneys try to do is try to get a change of venue, and for good reason. I mean, it really does make sense. You can understand why they're doing that.
Let's bring in Todd Flood, attorney at Flood Law. Good morning, Todd. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm great, and you're too kind. Thanks for announcing the new show, the show coming back.
Yeah, we're excited about it.
Yeah, we hope to get a little, are you going to pay us for that? Or, I mean, that's an extra that's an extra couple bucks there, Todd.
Free cup of coffee next time you see
Marie. I owe you a lot of money, so, you know, yes, of course.
You know, these change of venue requests, I don't know what it is about me, but I almost always think they deserve a change of venue because I'm in the media and I'm covering it, and I think that the media coverage has to bias the ability. But I also almost never see one. I mean, maybe I've seen
very
two
rare. I don't think I've ever
30
seen
years.
One. I don't think I've ever seen a change of venue case. Go
so
through.
Why is that? Why is this request made so often, and why is it so rarely granted?
Well, first you have to file the motion and the briefing ahead of time, ahead of the jury trial. Then the second step is, then you put the veneer together. That would be the prospective jurors, and that motion protects you because what you need to be able to show under the court rule and the case law is that you wouldn't, exactly what you say, get a fair and impartial trial. It's next to impossible to get a change of venue if you didn't file the motion ahead of time. So it's kind of a prophylactic measure. It's seldom, if ever, granted. You two have covered a ton of cases from Kwame Kilpatrick on down. I had was involved in that case. I was also involved in a case where we had a hit put on two judges by one of our clients, allegedly. And that was in Oakland County. We couldn't even get out of that venue, right? So think about that for a moment. When the colleagues of the same county are hearing the motions and the like, it's a very difficult thing because the questions in the voir dire, you got to peel back the layers of the onion of how a person thinks, whether or not they're predisposed, and whether or not they can set aside those mm-hmm. taints that they may have on a case. And inevitably, you always get, 12 people plus the alternates that say, yes, we can follow the law that the judge gives us, and we can also set aside our, and give a fair trial. You know, there's so many questions about, to me, that how is due process really fair and just when you don't always necessarily get the truth in getting the predispositions or those messages that jurors are listening to the media and the like. You don't always get them to be candid and give honest answers. I had a case, it turned out it was a murder trial down in Frank Murphy. And the two of the jurors took their kids out to the site where the death was and said prayers at the site.
Oh, wow.
And we didn't find out about that until way after the trial. And then we got granted a new trial and won. So it's a very difficult process, but inevitably you're always going to get 12 people plus the alternates to say they can, you know, sit fairly. And it really takes a skilled judge and a skilled lawyers to have a deft touch to have someone open up in front of 100 people.
Right.
Yeah, so if you're one person on the spot there, you know, you really don't want to tell people about how you think, what you think, whether or not, you know, you can be fair and impartial, whether or not you believe guns should be allowed in a house. You know, it's an interesting skill set, and trial lawyers need to know how to do it. And I tell you, I've been in the chair, and it's a tough task. But I don't see this case being changed. I really don't.
Todd, yeah, because there's a million adults in Oakland County. Hopefully they'll get 12 of them together and some alternates that are going to say they can base their decision on what they're presented with in the trial itself. Todd, we want to make sure we get a couple of other questions in here. How do you think this case is going to be different? The James Crumley trial will be different from the Jennifer Crumley trial.
I think in several ways. One is going to be James Crumley taking the stand or not taking the stand. It won't be telegraphed like it was in the last case. Second, if he does take the stand, you know, it's going to be the defense. I didn't have control of the gun last. My wife did. And my wife left it in the car. And that evidence came out. And, you know, that defense is going to, I think, be amplified. The prosecution has to overcome that hurdle, because I think that was kind of like the bullet point that really swayed this last jury.
That's what they said. They said that, in fact.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I think that's going to be a big, you know, issue for the defense. And I also think, you know, there's going to be some questions that revolve around, when you saw Jennifer Crumley testify, she seemed so self-serving. Her emotion when she was back in the jail, right, was I don't know, that basic thought process, what was going through her mind was, it seemed off to me. And I think it was off-putting to the jury as well. And then she said, if I had to change and turn back the hands of time, she really didn't say, you know, she didn't say, I wouldn't have given him the gun. I wouldn't have, you know, she said, I wouldn't have changed anything really, you know. So I believe when you see the James testify, if he does, you'll see a different emotion. You'll see a different, you know, way of how they attack the prosecution's case.
Appreciate it. We're up against
all
the clock, Todd.
Said,
but
I think, yeah, go ahead.
Now we're up against the clock. We appreciate it. It's going to be interesting to watch. We appreciate you, and we're looking forward to WJR Behind the Bench with Todd Flood Mondays at 7 p.m. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks,
you guys,
Todd.
Enjoy your weekend.
All right. You're listening to All Talk on WJR.